92.9 WBPM Rockwell. Somebody watching me, paranoid. It is 8:39. Good to be with you, man. I think it's about 70 degrees. We're going to 78 today. It's going to rain. You got rain in the forecast, perhaps a thunder shower as well. Joe Jenkins in the studio. Joe Jenkins, the director of media relations from Central Hudson. Nice to talk to you, Joe.
Good morning, Bob.
And Steve Carroll is with us. Steve is the head of the IBW Local 320. Steve, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much. I was just going to do I was going to do a Cubs thing for you, but I'll talk about it later. The storm that we had that knocked out a lot of people, it was pretty violent, but to me, it didn't seem to be all that long. But you want to talk about the storm response you guys had.
Yeah. And you're exactly right. The storm was, it outperformed all of the forecasts. Mm-hmm. We were watching them. The models were predicting thunderstorms, mm-hmm. and we had crews ready to respond.
Yeah.
But, when you get 80-mile-an-hour winds and the forecast is calling for 50, obviously the damages were a little bit more extensive than we thought. And to your point, it was quick.
Yeah, it was.
You know, most of the time when we see the types of damage that we saw, it's storms that last a day. You know,
right.
It's a full-day event. This was in and out of the area and sometimes 10, 15, 20 minutes and just really caused extensive damage, 58,000 customers out, and really the heaviest hit areas, Poughkeepsie, LaGrange, Hyde Park. And, we were proud of our response. We responded quickly and we brought in mutual aid and we were able to get everyone restored in a little over 72 hours. So a little mm-hmm. over 3 days. So we were happy with the response. And again, with the damages and things like that, I was at a desk writing news releases and responding to media requests. Steve was out in the field, so he can probably speak to it a little bit better.
Okay, Steve. Good morning. Hi. Talk to me.
Yeah, I mean, in storms like that, it's tough. There's a lot of stuff going on. When you have that much damage and you start losing main lines, there's a lot of patrolling that you have to do to make sure everything's safe. When you lose a main line in the middle of the storm or beginning of the storm, you have to go back and patrol every spur line coming off. You don't mm-hmm. want to have to energize that and then have wires down on a customer's property. So you have to look over the entire system before you start energizing. And that takes a lot of time, especially when you had that kind of damage.
Correct. What's going on with the takeover, Joe?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought it up. Good question. It started to bubble up a little bit. There was no movement with it politically up in Albany this year, but some of the supporters of that bill were critical of our storm response and said that they felt that a government-run utility would have done a better job of responding to the storm and had people back on faster than we did. And, certainly something that I take umbrage too, and especially with Steve and the guys that are out in the field, they leave their families, they put their lives on the line to do this work, and it's something that they claim that it's a piece of legislation that is pro labor, and I'll let Steve talk about his concerns with that.
Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, they do try to promote that this legislation is definitely pro-labor. I think the frustrating part that we have is that we have legitimate concerns about the legislation and what it could do to these communities. But to the public, it keeps getting unheard only because the individuals that are supposed to be listening to us that are part of this legislation, they're the ones creating the narrative that our only concern about this is that we're trying to defend our employer, which it gets hard to get your point across because no one wants to hear it because they automatically just assume that we're only here because Central Hudson employs us. We're just taking care of the hand that feeds us.
Right.
We've showed up to a bunch of town halls throughout the area, Catskill, Beacon, Poughkeepsie, and we've had elected officials that walked right past us while we stand outside, don't ask us any questions, don't want to hear. One individual only worried about what his signs look like in front of the venue that we were at.
Yes.
But then on social media or on anywhere that they can talk about it, they promote that they're pro-labor, which that only solidifies the fact to us as why we should really ask more questions about this, because if you won't hear us now, you don't want to understand our issues now, how are you going to represent us better if you get control of the utility?
Correct, yeah. But this is something that sounds to me like it's going to go on for a long time. Am I right?
Potentially, yeah. I mean, it's got to get through. It's got to get through the Senate and the Assembly first before it even gets up to the governor. Yeah. There's a lot of process that has to go through it. Then they have to see if they can even get to a point where Central Hudson is willing to sell it. If not, then it's going through eminent domain, and that's a long,
ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Yeah, if it gets that far, sure. Jesus. Let me ask you a question, Joe. These proposed data centers, how's that going to affect the average Joe with the bills and stuff?
That's interesting. I'm glad you brought this up. Well, right now, New York State passed a law, or a one-year moratorium, I should say. It's not a law, but a moratorium that says that no data centers that have a larger load than 50 megawatts can be built in New York State. Mm-hmm. So when you talk about, to give people an idea of scale, because I know that when you talk about 50 megawatts, well, how big is that? When we're talking about data centers and what we've seen in the news, that's relatively small. So, and what happens, especially in Central Hudson service area, when you talk about data centers of that size, we have a lot of what we call latent capacity or unused bandwidth on our electric system, for a lot of reasons. Our electric system was built out for the peak of IBM when they were here. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of space where we can provide more electricity without creating any upgrades or investing in the system at all, because it's already there. Mm-hmm. So there's opportunity to build those places there. And then when that happens, that's adding another customer onto the system. They will socialize costs out further, actually. So small, sensibly placed data centers have the opportunity to actually moderate rates a little bit. But again, you have to be intelligent about how you do it. You know, we respect the government wanting to take a look at this, but you have to place them in the right area, and you have to be smart about it, because it's not just about where you place it, but you also have to make sure that there's enough energy to supply for these places. So it's a very complicated thing. I know that there's a lot of concern about it, but here in the Hudson Valley, we don't actually, there's been a few proposed, but there are no new data centers on the system as of now. So, and if we did, we'd be doing it again in a sensible way where either customers wouldn't be paying for the system upgrades, the owners of the data center would, or it wouldn't require any upgrades at all.
So this sounds like, to me, it's another thing that's going to be drawn out for a while. Am I right?
Yeah, this is just, it's an emerging thing, right? No. Data centers already exist. Yeah. We use them for our 24-hour banking and everything like that. Mm-hmm. But the scale that they're talking about with these is much larger when you're talking about AI and things like that. So we want to make sure that we're doing it pragmatically. We'd want to make sure that it doesn't have any adverse impacts on our customers. So we keep an eye on it, but we also know that there is, if we do it right, some potential benefit.
Correct. You wanted to talk about customer service, so that's improving a little bit.
Maybe yeah, we're making some headway. We know that there's a little bit of ways to go still. This is another benefit to not having the government run Central Hudson, is there's already a regulatory body in Albany that oversees us and holds us accountable.
Yes.
And we didn't quite hit the standards that we were supposed to hit this year, and as a result, they fined us for it. Mm-hmm. So what we've done is we have brought in an independent third party who's kind of overseeing the end-to-end journey that a customer has when they interact with Central Hudson. And they are coming up with new initiatives that we'll be implementing soon to help improve your interactions with the contact center, the self-service online issues that you can deal with without having to call in. Pretty much anything that is customer-facing, we're taking a look at and trying to identify ways to improve so that, the progress we made is great, but we need to go a little bit further so that we can meet the expectations of our customers.
Well, all right, Joe. Thank you so much. I do appreciate it, man. Anything else you want to get out?
Yeah, I mean, the Cubs need to win when the Brewers lose.
Don't even talk to me. I'm a Mets fan about 8 games a year when they play the Brewers. And they couldn't get it done last night. And the Cubs, of course, lost. So
yeah.
But my concern is that now the Cubs are 7 back.
Yeah, it's
we're approaching August now. Yeah. It's getting a little tight.
It's the time to go on a run, if that's what you're going to do.
I mean, I'm a little bit verklempt about the whole thing. Joe, pleasure it is. Thanks for coming in. Steve Carroll, good to see you, my friend. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It is 11 minutes to 9.
My name is John Sohn. Last October, I was out riding my Harley Davidson when a truck...